say, Lord, you're going to be throwing some ages at me that just make no sense in terms of my experience of life, but you're telling me straight up that a 76-year-old man is supposed to go find a wife and get married. You would think by that age he would know better than to get married. Or you would think that Ishmael, who'd already committed bigamy by marrying two Hittite women, would be sensible enough to not go out and get a third one and multiply his sorrows. Because you know what having more than one wife does for you? It multiplies your sorrows. And that's not a put down for the woman. That's an understanding that God designed us for one man and one woman in a relationship for life. Now, that didn't always unfold that way. We have death, we have remarriages for dozens of reasons. I'm not condoning divorce. I'm just simply saying you can't just put it all in a bag and say, you see, it's it. You have one shot. That's it. No, not necessarily. But it is meant to be a journey between one man and one woman for life with no competition in the household for the affections of the husband. No jealousy, no envy, no baby wars, which is exactly what Jacob went through. The women kept having babies thinking that their having babies would make him love them. And it didn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. 76 years old. Lord, give me a biblical mindset so that I understand that 76 in their days does not mean 76 in my days. 76 is just around the corner. For me, I'm looking at it going, yeah, is it time for me to get married and start my family? I don't think so. I think, you know, I've enjoyed my journey with Lynn, and I started a lot sooner than that. So 76 doesn't mean what we think it means. We have 76 on the geriatric ward, and what we're learning is that this is a mature man at the midpoint of his life just getting started with his family. Now it doesn't sound quite so strange, does it? 76 years old. Here's the other impact. For 76 years, he's been tussling with his brother Esau. They've been engaged in sibling rivalry for 76 years. Do you know what it is by now? A bad habit. Do you know what I mean by that? They can't seem to get out of their own way. They are so used to fighting and bickering and one-upping one another that there's war. There's no peace in the home. That's not cool. 76 years. You tend to be set in your ways. You know, when I got married at 30, my mother said she was going to pray for my wife because I was wicked set in my ways. And she thought that would be difficult for her. And my mother was right. But anyway, God has been really gracious and kind, and I think I've mellowed some, but maybe you'd have to talk to my wife and check it out. I wanted to start by telling you about Paul Simon. He's a songwriter, and he wrote some songs back in the 60s, which I really liked. And it was very disappointing to me to find out that he didn't really like those songs that he wrote back in the 60s. I went, what? Everyone else loved them. What's wrong with you, Paul Simon? He said, you know, back there when I was in my early 20s, I was at the best time of my life until recently. He's now 75. Now I would say I'm having the best time of my life. So I'm thinking, I need a biblical mindset to understand what's going on with this man. Do you follow me? The best time in his life was when he was a late teen, early 20-something, and then for 50 years, you could write it off, it didn't matter, it wasn't fun, and now that he's gotten into his 70s, he's got enough sense to start to enjoy life again. I used to be a troubadour. I used to go around and play my guitars and sing Paul Simon's songs on street corners for money. I know you may find that hard to believe, but I did do that. I wore tattered jeans, I had long hair, I had a beard, and I made a lot of money singing songs in the street corner. And the songs they wanted me to sing were songs by Paul Simon. They loved them. And I made enough money to live. to get my food, to get my board, to pay for my travel, to go to the next city where I could sing on the street corners and make more money. So what do we call that? Bohemian lifestyle. I lived for a couple of years until the Lord got me out of my nonsense. What's that?
The bridge over troubled water.
Yes, exactly. So the reason I'm bringing that up is not because it's biblical, but because it's a 50-year gap in Simon's life that we're looking at. Catch that? You take 50 years off of Jacob's age, 76, and what do you get? You get 26. And you start to think, oh, okay, so when I was 26, this is what was going on in my... That's kind of comparable to what was going on in Jacob's life at 76. Now, I simply gave that to you as a bridge. Don't think of him as an old man over the hill in a geriatric ward. He is just starting his family life. He will be 83 before he has his first child. Think about that. Okay. Now, Jacob, in leaving his home, is headed home. He is homeward bound from the day he leaves. That's important, because so are you. You came from God, you return to God. You're here in this life journey. You may think you're outward bound, but I got news for you. You are homeward bound. And that song means a lot to me. It moves me deeply. I want to share with you the chorus. Again, it's not the gospel, but you can understand that something like this was singing in Simon's heart. It goes like this. Homeward bound. I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts escaping. Home, where my music's playing. Home, where my love is waiting silently for me. It's a beautiful song, amen? But remember, Paul Simon doesn't like it. I can't tell you the number of times I sat at a train station with tickets in my hand for my destination, and those words just went through my mind. Home. Home. Where our thoughts go. Home. Where familiarity is like music in the air. Where everything is where it ought to be. It's kind of like settling down at the ocean, closing your eyes and listening to the surf. You feel at home with the ocean. Or if you live next to a brook, one of the things you can do is go out and sit on a rock next to the brook and listen to the water burble and splash as it passes by. And you feel at home. You feel at home with the world. Now, that's the way you're supposed to feel. Because this is your home until you go home. You are homeward bound. Even without our being conscious of it, these thoughts about home are constantly going through our minds. Everyone is lonely. Everyone is homeless. Everyone is missing what you can only have through Christ with God the Father. That's the deal. You are homeward bound. So I want to preview messages that will be coming in the next few weeks. Just a little bit. Jacob's leaving was always connected with his returning. And I thought this was fascinating because Jesus tells the story of the prodigal son. And he lifts it up as an explanation of our relationship with God the Father. Do you know that? Once there was a man who had two sons. The young son comes to the father and says, "Give me the dough, Dad, I'm leaving town." He heads off for a far country and he lives life on his terms. Which one of us is not guilty of leaving home to live life on our own terms? But anyway, He goes off to the far country and he squanders his wealth. I wonder if anyone here has squandered their wealth. I wonder if anyone here has spent their riches in ill-conceived, thoughtless ways. And he carries on like this for a while until finally he runs out of dough, and then he runs out of food, and then he runs out of hope, and then he says, "What's wrong with me? Even the hired servants at my father's house have enough to eat. I will go back to my father and tell him I'm not worthy to be called your son. Treat me as a hired hand." Jesus tells the story of the prodigal son because it's the story of Jacob. It's the story of our leaving home to get home with God. And he wants everyone to know that the Father is looking forward to you coming home. He wants you home. And so that's why he waits at the end of the road looking for you to show up. That's why he's willing to look past everything that you threw at him, everything that you disappointed him with, everything that you gave sorrow to. He looks past all of that sorrow, all of that worry, all of that anxiety, because he's so glad that you are coming home. That's the Father's heart towards us. The world has lied to us. He's not angry. He's not. He's not judging in that kind of cruel, insensitive, scary way. Oh, he judges, all right. You know, I understand that. But the fundamental heart of the Father towards his children is trustworthy, loving, receiving, and welcoming. That's good to know, isn't it? We left home in order to come home. So the journey is attended by many, many adventures. Yeah. Jacob has this incredible experience on his way out of town. He has a dream. Do you remember that? And in the dream he sees God. Jacob doesn't have a relationship. At age 76, he still doesn't have a relationship with God. That's kind of disturbing. Raised in a godly home, with a godly father, but no understanding that God is his God. When he gets out on his own, he has this dream, and there's this ladder. You remember the ladder that goes to heaven? I don't know how you picture it. I think it's very interesting. You can't call it a pole ladder with, you know, steps on it, because there are angels going up one side and angels going down the other. So you're almost inevitably, yeah, you're thrown into this kind of either a pyramid, a triangle, or an escalator. Maybe it's an escalator. Maybe Macy's escalator was there in Jacob's dream, and the angels are coming down with their messages, and the angels are going up with your petitions, and he sees all of that divine activity. Now, do you think that's make-believe? Do you think that's just a fantasy? Or do you know that the angels of the Lord are attending you in great multitudes every single day, bringing word from God, taking word to God? The angels exist to glorify God and to serve us. They are servant creatures. They're not immortal. They are created. They don't die because God didn't create them to die. But they are not from everlasting to everlasting. There was a time when they were not. And he sees that the cosmos is full of angels. They are everywhere. In fact, there are so many angels in this room that you can't even count them. And they are astounded at you. They are marveling at you. They are looking into your life and your heart and saying, "Wow, how much the love of the Father has changed this one."
Amen.
Do you understand? We are not alone. Existential doubt is a delusion. It's bad spaghetti. or spinach. I like spinach and spaghetti, so don't take that the wrong way. The delusion is when people say, I am all alone. You are never alone. You are never without resources, ever. Because the angels of the Lord are all around you, and if the eyes of your faith were opened, you would see them and you would say, oh, look at them. The mountains are covered with them. The land is full of them. Oh Lord, open my servant's eyes that he may see that there are more who are for us than are ever against us. You know, if you deal with insecurity and paranoia, if you think the world is against you, I got news for you. You're wrong. God is for you. And if God is for you, who can stand against? You should recognize that scripture. It's from Romans. That's exactly right. So I want to encourage you to not buy into the lies of the world, which are you're alone, you're abandoned, no one cares, you're lost, you're worthless, you're a loser. Not in God's eyes. You're his child. You left home, and he can't wait for you to come back. Repentance is what it takes to come back to God. Did you know that? Repentance is not just saying, oh Lord, I really blew it. I'm such a mess up. Oh Lord, there's no hope for me. I've completely blown it. And God just, you're kidding, right? God's looking at you, really? You think that you have blown it so badly that I can't restore you? Who do you think that I am? Why do you think I'm so limited? Why do you think I can't get past your sin? I already paid the price for it. And if you would receive it by forgiveness, you would be what? Forgiven. You would be free. You would understand that there is no hindrance. There is no barrier between me because my son took that barrier down. He took down that separating wall. He destroyed that wall of hostility. He took away the judgmental fear that we have of God and put the loving affection of the Father in place. He can't wait for you, his beloved, to come home. And repenting is more than saying, I'm sorry for my sin. It's more than having remorse for the bad stuff you've done. It's having this incredible desire to get home. Get home. Do you know what that's like? I can give you a parallel. I used to run the 440. Do you know the leg of death in the 440? Do you know what that refers to? The last 40 yards. It's the most difficult. It's where you either make it or don't make it as a racer. Got it? You have that 40 yards to throw in the kick to take the lead and win the race. That's it. Do you know what it feels like to be in that race, throw in the kick, and come first? That's what it means to come home. That's the victory that you have when you get home to God. And all of the saints, this huge, what do they call it, crowd of witnesses, you know, I think that's what that refers to. They're looking, they go, yes, yes, yes. Repentance is about that. Am I communicating with anyone? Okay. I want you to be strongly encouraged. Jacob called that place Peniel, which means the face of God, because there's where he saw God. Now, look at this. This is where he saw God. He didn't see God at the head of the stairs. He saw God over the stairs. Over the angels. Why would God be over the angels? Because he's God. And there's no other place for him to be. And God speaks to him from that place and he says, I am the God of your father, Abraham and Isaac, and I will be with you. Oh, who's he talking to? Talking to you. Talking to me. He's going to be what?
With
me. With me. He doesn't say, I'm going to be against you. He says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be for you. I love that. And this is his initiation into the awareness that God is his God. Is God your God? You know, if God is not your God, then that's the place you need to get to. Jesus needs to be your Savior. He's my Savior, but I can't do anything for you on the basis of Him being my Savior. You're the one who has to come into a relationship with Him and say, Lord, be my Savior. I am going to trust in You. You are going to be my Lord. You are going to be my King. You are going to be my God. Say that, and you will be saved. He who confesses with his mouth that Jesus is God, that He rose from the dead, that He died for our sins. When you believe those things about Jesus, you are forgiven, you are saved, you are purified, you are in. You have won the race. So let's see, where's that? You know what? Stuff and nonsense. So the three phases are separation, initiation, and return. And what we find is then in what is spoken to Jacob, Isaac called Jacob, Isaac blessed Jacob, and Isaac charged Jacob. Separation, initiation, return, calling, blessing, charging. That's the movement of the story. Does everyone understand that? Does that make sense to you? So there's this separation, initiation, and return thing that we talk about. That's what Jacob is going through. That's what you're going through. Why did you come into this world? So that you could be separated, so that you could be called, so that you could be charged. God has something for you to do. I don't care how. Sorry, Mary. I don't care how old you are. That's why I'm apologizing, because I just happened to look at you and I was just going to say this and I went, don't take it personally. It doesn't matter how old you are, because God isn't done with you until He's done with you. You are still in the game. That's what I mean. You're still in the game. Thank God you're in the game. I'm glad you're in church. But we are never too old to be in the game. We are never too young to be in the game. It's all about the journey. Amen. Samuel was called as a boy. I love that story because, of course, my name's Samuel. You know, it makes me feel kind of good about that. God called Samuel, and I'm saying, wow, this happened before. Maybe it could happen again. God called Samuel. What did Samuel say?
Here I am.
Speak. Your servant listens. Yeah, here I am, Lord. What do you say? Same thing. And I think this is so incredible because a lot of people don't know that God calls you by name. Every single one of you is called by name. You're not called by someone else's name. You're called by your own name. But you don't hear Him because you've been taught, or you think He doesn't do that anymore. You know what? He does. He does it all the time. You should be encouraged by that. He knows your name. All right. You must not take a wife from among them Canaanites. I agree with that. Don't marry a Canaanite. No, there are no men here. You need to, John, don't marry a Canaanite. All right. Ebony, don't marry a Hittite. Okay? Don't do it. Okay. It's important. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Why? Say it. It'll drag you down. It will beat you up. It will leave you mangled. Don't do it. It'll take your eyes off God. Believe me. All right. Where are we? So here is the blessing that Jacob gets. And it's the same blessing that Abraham got. But the blessing to Abraham is now repeated or applied to or given to Jacob. That makes it his blessing. God has a blessing for you. It's the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham is what? Be fruitful and multiply. Go on. From you will come a nation, and that nation will exist for the praise of my name. Do you think he's done with that? No, he's not done with that. It's the same blessing. We got to say, oh, God is still up to the same old, thank God. I will make a name of you. I will give you a nation. They will be my people. They will exist for the praise of my name. So, what have you heard? We leave home to come home. The Father loves us and can't wait for our return. Jesus is the door to the house of the Father. No one comes to the Father except through him. So if you don't know Jesus, receive him today. Let him be your Lord and Savior, that you might have access to the Father. There's no time to waste. Amen.